You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Covestor Radio, a show about money milestones and investing for your future. Today, once again, we are with Kimberly Klaus, Advisory Board Chair and Chief Client Advocate at Covestor, a registered investment advisor and online marketplace for investing. Today, Kimberly will be speaking with us about planning for retirement after you've gotten a divorce. Kimberly, as always, good to have you part of Covestor Radio.
Oh, thank you, Eric. Delighted to be here.
And the pleasure is always ours as well. So question number one for you, what general suggestions do you have about divorce and preparing for retirement?
So you've signed that last piece of paper, right? The divorce is final, and maybe you've celebrated your newfound independence. Now it's time to start thinking about your own financial future. And no matter what your age, a very important part of securing your future is planning for retirement. In this episode, I thought it would be helpful to focus on some general do's and don'ts. So here are the do's to start. Do determine your retirement goals as a self-reliant person. Do fund retirement accounts to the maximum, especially if you're over 50. And do disinherit your ex-spouse.
And that's a good point. So let's focus on the first one, determining your goals.
Well, before you jump into the how-to of retirement, I encourage you to think about what you really want and to eliminate the word should from your vocabulary. Age 65, of course, used to be the de facto age for retirement, but according to the Social Security Administration, the average retired benefits recipient in 2010 was almost 74. And we're working longer for a variety of reasons. Perhaps you love your career and want to continue working as long as possible. Maybe you even want to start a business. It's up to you. There are no shoulds. If you're on the fence about working for income, keep in mind that working for income can benefit you in many ways. If you have taxable compensation during a year, you're eligible to contribute to an IRA, and the type of IRA will depend upon a number of factors, but in general, you will be eligible to contribute to an IRA. Taxable compensation, okay, what is that? Pretty broad definition. Salaries, wages, tips, bonuses, commissions, and self-employment income. The point here is that if you do have taxable compensation, you are able to use some tax-advantaged vehicles to save for your retirement. Again, caveat, we do not provide tax advice, but want to give the listeners some helpful hints to talk to their accountants about.
And most definitely. And any common missed opportunities with IRAs?
Yeah, this is such a good question, Eric. It is, because according to Vanguard, a lot of investors don't take advantage of the ability to increase their IRA contributions. So investors who are age 50 and older have the opportunity to contribute an extra $1,000 annually into their RIAs. However, the Vanguard research did show that investors who are over 55 are more likely to invest that extra $1,000 than those who are 50. And 50 is the first year of eligibility. So I encourage listeners to be sure that they are maximizing the amount of money that they can contribute to their IRAs, and that higher after you've turned 50.
Once again, we are with Kimberly Klaus, Advisory Board Chair and Chief Client Advocate at Covestor, a registered investment advisor and online marketplace for investing. Here on Covestor Radio, a show about money milestones and investing for your future here on EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Kimberly, the third do, be sure to disinherit your ex-spouse. That certainly caught my attention. Tell us more about that, if you would.
I thought that might catch your attention. So be sure to update the beneficiary designations on your retirement accounts and your life insurance policies as well. So a beneficiary is the person or legal entity that is entitled to receive the proceeds from your retirement account. Regardless of your current marital status, the assets in your IRA, use that as the example, will go to the person who you have named in your beneficiary designation whenever you last updated it. So be sure to remove your ex-spouse from those beneficiary designations.
Makes a lot of sense. And now that we've covered some of the do's, how about let's speak of the don'ts, some of those, if you would.
Well, don't forget that the best practices of investing still apply. Working with your advisor, you know, determine your risk tolerance, you know, allocate your assets across a variety of asset classes, try to minimize investment fees and expenses, and create a plan for monitoring your investments and making changes as appropriate. Secondly, don't let your guard down. Financial scam artists frequently prey on people who have had had tough life events, you know, divorce, death in the family, and watch out for financial product salespeople who are going to prey on your fears. Con artists know that a lot of retirees worry about the adequacy of their retirement savings, and they know how to pitch schemes, right, as a way to increase the investor's financial security to the point where there's no fear necessary. Remember, as always, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
And lastly, any other don'ts that we should know about?
Well, don't neglect to claim Social Security benefits. And this one is not intuitive, in my opinion. But if your marriage lasted at least 10 years, you can receive benefits on your ex-spouse's record, even if he or she has remarried. And of course, there are certain conditions. You yourself are unmarried, you're over the age of 62, and your ex-spouse is entitled to Social Security or disability benefits, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, these amounts can be meaningful. So the takeaway on this point is, you know, at least check into it. At least check into the possibility that you might be eligible to receive Social Security based upon your ex-spouse's Social Security eligibility.
And in closing, any closing thoughts or a final tip on the topic that we have been covering today?
Well, find a financial advisor with experience working with divorced clients. The financial needs of people who are divorced are different from those of a married couple. They're different from other, you know, profiles of investors. And you're going to be best served by working with an advisor who understands and appreciates those differences and knows some of the nuances that should be, incorporated into your situation. And retirement planning, of course, is always important, but it can be even more important and time-sensitive after a divorce. Take care of yourself, your future, and be sure to put your own oxygen mask on first before too much else happens.
And as always, where can folks be in connection with you at Covestor and get more information on Covestor online?
Covestor.com.
Kimberly, as always, good to have you with us once again here on Covestor Radio. Have a great day.
Thank you, Eric.
We've been speaking with Kimberly Klaus, Advisory Board Chair and Chief Client Advocate at Covestor, a registered investment advisor and online marketplace for investing. We certainly do thank you for joining us on this episode of Covestor Radio, a show about money milestones and investing for your future. And for more information, simply visit Covestor.com. Join us next time for another episode of Covestor Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. And this has been Eric Dye.
This is the ePodcast Network.